Let me turn again for a few minutes to the passage from which we were reading, that's Song of Solomon chapter 1. I'm reading again at verse 15. Song of Solomon chapter 1, reading the words of verse 15. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes. Now, we've heard a great deal of preaching, of very fine preaching, over the last week, and I don't intend to preach any demanding or heavy message tonight. We're leaving aside our regular series going through the book of Galatians. But here's a precious text of Scripture that opens up, quite naturally, some precious devotional thoughts, and it seemed more appropriate tonight to seek to bring some simple devotional thoughts to encourage us as we descend down the mountainside after a season of blessing, that as we return to the busyness, to the distractions of daily living, and maybe feel a little disheartened at that, that we find some encouragement in the unchanging view of our precious Lord Jesus Christ. How precious it is to be thought beautiful. It is one of the lovely aspects of marriage as a human relationship that here are two people brought together who are mutually attracted, who delight in the other person, who delight in them as an individual in terms of their character, who delight in their appearance, who delight in their presence and in their company. It is a wonderful thing, and it is so precious to know that here is a person who loves me, who delights in me, who thinks me beautiful, despite all evidence to the contrary. Now, if that is true of human marriage, how much more true of the fulfillment of human marriage? Of that relationship into which the Lord Jesus Christ enters with his people, with his beloved people, which is a marriage, an everlasting marriage, the eternal marriage of Christ and his church. You know, we love to see beauty around us. It is one of the things that marks us as human beings, that we have an appreciation of beauty. Animals have no concept of it, but human beings love beauty. We love the beauty of a landscape, where we see the hand of our Creator, the sky painted with his colour palette, the wonder of the new lambs in the field. What beauty in a little lamb, that innocency, that gentleness, that new life that is there. The beauty we see in human beings, the love, the compassion that humans show one to another, that quality whereby we are attracted and drawn to the company of one another. It is an openness to beauty. And of course, we're referring not just to physical beauty, but also to the beauty of character. It's one of the pleasures of having ministers visiting over a communion season that I can take them round to visit some of these people whose company I love, some of the Lord's people who are especially not able to get out to attend in public worship, and to see how they too delight to be acquainted with such aged servants of God. They find in these old people, who have in the eyes of this world no beauty, they find in them the beauty of Christ. And isn't that a sweet and a precious thing, when the Lord's people are mutually attracted to one another by what we have in common? How precious a thing is beauty. How precious to be thought beautiful. And in the words of this text, we ascend even higher than that. We're not simply thinking of our own appreciation of beauty. We're thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his appreciation of the beauty of his people. The Song of Solomon can be a little confusing because, of course, it is a dialogue between two people. It's not always immediately obvious, especially in translation, who is speaking. But verse 15 is plainly addressed to the female lover. the word that is used, my love, in the original, conveys the sense, my loved woman. It has that feminine gender. So here we have the words of the Lord, the words of Christ, ultimately, addressed to his beloved. And what does he say? What's his verdict upon the beloved? Behold, he says, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Repeated for emphasis. Fair. She is beautiful. She is attractive. She is lovely. There's a wonder in that. Behold, thou art fair, my love. And again, like he cannot help himself, behold, thou art fair. There is beauty that is drawing forth this appreciative declaration. And that will be our theme for tonight, the beauty of Christ's church. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. And we'll seek to open up a little of the beauty of Christ's church. In a sense, it's natural that Christ should find beauty in his church, because first of all, we have the beauty of God's creation. Each human being is truly his workmanship. And that's a precious truth. Each one, an individual creation of God. Human beings are the very pinnacle, the apex of God's work of creation, his finest work. We were created to be lords over this earth, to bear rule over it, to govern it. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and our bodies are incredible things. The physical capacity which human beings have for hard work, for physical development, for physical advancement, the extraordinary miracle it is, the human brain, so full of intellect, of creativity, of thought, of reflection, what capacity that brain has to store, to gather information, to reflect upon it. It is wonderful. And yet, even more than that, the human being is a spiritual being. Human being has a soul. He formed man with the dust of the earth and breathed into man's nostrils, and man became a living soul. So human beings, we exist on the spiritual level and on the physical level. We are both. And God looked upon us, and his verdict was, it is all very good. Truly there is much beauty in human life. There is creativity. There is the wonder of the art, of the literature, of the reflection of which human beings are capable. There's also a marvel in the compassion and love that human beings can show to one another, the connections that we can form. These are precious things. And they point us to the origin of ourselves. That we are higher than the animals. That we're not just over-evolved apes with inconveniently large brains. No, we're different. We're separate from the animal creation. We are the workmanship of God. We are, says the book of Genesis, made in the image of God. Formed after his pattern. That's a mysterious thought. That's a thought into which we can only delve a little way without descending into speculation. It certainly indicates that there is a quality to man which is truly special and truly unique. Some direct link between God and man, not shared by angels, not shared by devils, not shared by all the wonders of the spiritual world. Man is made in God's image. And yet, of course, we have the tragedy. Here is the beauty of creation. God says it is very good, and man has defaced it. You know, in the year 1975, there was an unemployed school teacher in the Netherlands. He was half mad. He went into an art gallery where a famous painting was displayed, Rembrandt's The Night Watch, which is one of these vast, immense landscape pictures, one of the most famous paintings of the European Renaissance, and he had a knife with him, and he savagely attacked this painting, and he slashed it into strips, before he was subdued by the security guards, he had hideously trashed the painting. And even now, if you go to see that famous painting, you can still see some remnants of this horrific attack, this horrific vandalism. And just in the same way, humans having the image of God, having this beauty, we have trashed it, we have defaced it, we have scarred it and marred it, and so savaged it that there are only occasional flickers, little glimmers of that beauty left amidst all the hideous degradation that we have piled on top of it. That beauty which God gave in creation has largely, not entirely, but largely been defaced by human sin. And so there's more beauty. There is the beauty of renovation. The Lord loves his people so much that he will not leave them in that condition of ugliness, but will restore them to beauty. And just like the artists who were charged with restoring this painting, with sewing it together, with repainting the detailing, with trying as far as possible to get the Rembrandt back to its original quality, so the Lord looks upon individuals and loves us and sees us in his eyes as worthy of his efforts, as worthy of hard work to restore us to beauty. This is wonder. It suggests the Lord has a true delight in us, despite the ugliness, despite the hideousness of our lives, of our sin, that yet he delights in us. And so, he embarks upon this work of renovation. Like these artists, he must first gather his materials. And so he did. We are told that the Lord Jesus took to himself a human body and a human soul, that he lived on this world as the God-man. Yes, truly the Son of God, but having to himself these materials which he required for his essential work. Then again, those who are restoring a painting, they need to have the model. They need to have the best possible picture they can have of what the original looked like, down to the very finest detail. So it is. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect man, the perfect life, the perfect example of what a human being should be. And here in Scripture, he is presented to us. Here's the target. Here's what we're aiming for. Here's what we're being prepared for, this quality of holiness. What we see in Jesus, the perfect man, who in every respect exhibits for us true holiness. At no point in his life was the Lord Jesus anything less than that perfect man. We see in Jesus strength, resolution, principle, determination, courage. He will not be faced down by anyone. He will stand for what he believes. But at the same time, we see gentleness, compassion. Though he is a man, though he is strong, yet he will not abuse that strength. And we see his power used not for cruelty or for violence or for tyranny. We see it used to feed, to heal. We see his blessing resting upon the children. We see the babes taken in his arms and prayed for. We see love in Christ. We see in the highest sense true manliness in Christ. And that's the target. What does Paul say in Philippians 3? What's his desire? That I may know him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death. In other words, being made like unto him, even in the experience of his death. And so it is, that as the Lord Jesus Christ went down to die, as he loved his people and loved them unto the end, that we see that manliness reaching its highest pinnacle. He loved his church, his people, his brand, and he gave himself for us. That ultimately is what it means, of course, to be a husband, to sacrifice one's own desires and pleasures for the benefit of the beloved, to give of oneself. And so it is with Christ, in the perfect sense, in the absolute sense. We see in his death perfect self-giving, the perfect husbandly love which we need. That is the love, that is the compassion of Jesus Christ as he dies on the cross for his people. There's the model. There's the great example. And so, that work of Jesus must then be applied to the soul. And that takes skill, it takes effort. It was the work of many years to restore that immense painting by Rembrandt back even to a condition where it was worthy of being displayed, let alone to anything approaching its former status. And so it is that the Holy Spirit's work in the soul of man is a long drawn out work. It starts maybe dramatically, maybe in powerful experiences, maybe gradually, in the slow awakening of the soul of man to see his own sin, his own folly, his own need of the Saviour. The Lord works within us, drawing us unto himself, teaching us holiness, teaching us purity. We get a sense of it in this text. We read verse 15, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes." And of course, the dove is always used in Scripture as the symbol of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who descended upon the Lord Jesus Christ as a dove. Here is his beloved, and she has dove's eyes. She is one who has been wrought in by the Spirit of God. She looks back upon her beloved with eyes that have been changed, that have been shaped by the dove of God. The dove is a picture, a symbol of peace. The white dove speaks of peace, of conflict that has been resolved. The dove speaks of gentleness, gentlest of birds. The dove speaks of beauty. The beauty of that perfect, pure, white bird. She looks at her beloved with eyes of beauty, with eyes of peace, with eyes from which all conflict has been removed. She looks at him as one who loves him. Thou art fair, my love. Thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. The beauty of renovation, and the result of that then thirdly, is the beauty of perfection. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. The Lord looks upon his beloved. What does he see? He sees his own beauty. It is nothing less than perfection that the Lord is working in us. No standard that is lesser than that. We must worship the Lord, says the psalmist, in the beauty of holiness. And that is the beauty which the Spirit of God is bringing forth in us. True holiness, true conformity unto the great model, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you look at yourself and you think, I'm so ugly, I'm so imperfect. How could anyone love a sinner like me? And it's true. It's a subject for wonder, isn't it? Sinners like us, loved by one who knows us through and through. But he looks upon us. What does he see? He sees us not as hardened, unworthy sinners, but he sees his work reflected back. Thou hast dove's eyes. There is a work of God there. And it's not complete yet. It's in progress. You have to start somewhere with a work of art. You have to press on until it is completed. The sculptor starts his sculpture at one end and works to the other. He may hew it out roughly, but even so there will be fine detailing going on, let's say, on one hand of the statue, while another arm is yet to even be chipped out. It is a work in progress. So are we. We are a work in progress. But there is beauty there. Yes, there is uncleanness too, but there is beauty. And what does God look upon? What does Christ look upon? He doesn't look upon the uncleanness, because he knows that that's not permanent, it's not forever. He looks upon the beauty. He sees what is fair, and he admires it. He delights in it. He sees his own purpose, his own plan being fulfilled. It's his perfection that is coming forth. And you know, the whole Christian life is a progress and an advancement. It doesn't always feel like it. But yet it is. We're told Proverbs 4 verse 18, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The picture is of the sun rising in the sky, and we are advancing towards it. And eventually it will be the perfect day, and we will see the full brightness revealed. Us coming to know the Lord more, and the Lord in turn shining that purifying, cleansing light upon us more and more completely, until at last all imperfection is forever gone. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. And so the Lord Jesus looks upon his beloved, and he sees beauty. He sees his original creation. He sees his work of renovation, and he sees how perfectly and entirely every scar has been covered, every wound has been healed. He sees his perfection brought forth within his bride, and he delights. He, the perfect man, looks upon his bride, and he sees the perfect woman looking back without spot, without wrinkle, his bride prepared for him. And so ends the slow, painful, troubled courtship through this world. So begins the eternal marriage union. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. The beauty of Christ's church. To those of you who are children of God tonight, see the sweetness of this view. See how the Lord discerns fairness in you. See how there is an answer to every imperfection in you. The answer is not that it doesn't matter, that it's not important. The answer is that his work is sufficient, that he is able to cover, to restore, to cleanse, that he is able to so purify you that it will be as though you had never sinned. His work is sufficient. And so our hope is ultimately in him. It's his verdict that matters. And his verdict is already plain. Behold, thou art fair, my love. That's his verdict. That's his comfort, even to yourself. Oh, if you're still refusing the Lord, and see the horror of it. Because for you, the ugliness that you can discern in your life is the reality. The ugliness that you see is multiplied 10, 20, 100 times over. In the eyes of God, you can see to the very depths of these sins. There is no covering. There is no amelioration. The sin really is every bit as vile and more as it looks to your eyes. Oh, if you see your sin, then you see your need. And if you see your need, then come to the Saviour who can meet it. Come to the Saviour, willing to receive, willing to work in your life, to cleanse, to purify, to unite even unto himself. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May the Lord so unite us even unto himself.